down because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made sense. And I won't be ruled by the dancing west. Taking your rights to self-defense. They say you're safe, but that they don't make sense. Not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All the bodies made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made sense. And I won't be ruled by the dancing.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all of the usual caveats, of course. The overwhelming majority of the nation is in the middle of a deep freeze, so for those of you who are experiencing extreme weather, I do hope you are safe and warm, and if not, find a way to make it so. It's scary cold out there for most of the country. All right, going to take a quick peek in the chat room before we get started. And who do I see? I've got Bigfoot. We've got Kel, the Infidel Fox. And we have Chief, the host of Simple Facts of Life. Now, Kel just finished up doing her regular show, part of the Global Patriot Network. Over great, great things. You can find it right here at the BTR platform. The name of that show is IAW, stands for Infidels Are Watching. So glad to have her joining so quickly after her own show finished up. And as we mentioned before, Chief has a great show here at BTR as well, known as Simple Facts of Life. You can find that on Wednesday evenings, just a bit before I do the Wednesday night broadcast here. Starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, so you can do the calculations based on whatever part of the world you're in. Hate to make it complicated, but it's not that hard to figure out what time zone you're in. And then he also does a broadcast on Sundays that's quite a bit later, so I don't normally get to listen to that live. The Chief right now saying that it's warm and sunny in Portland, not a cloud in the sky. Well, you wouldn't want to rub it in, would you, any Chief? And, of course, Bigfoot has a great blog post over at Bigfoot Spot. And I, for the life of me, can't remember the rest of it right off. I'm sure Kel, real quick, will be happy to throw that into the chat room so I can read it verbatim for the rest of you guys who are not here live. Let's see here. Kel said, I wrapped up in with 10 seconds to spare. Talk a lot. Well, that's the curse of being a talk show host, Kel. And if you're anything like I am, I sometimes have a hard time getting started, but then once I get going, I really don't want to stop. It's like, okay, plenty of time, plenty of time. Oh, crap, where did the time go to? Which is part of why I was really having fun but kind of struggling just a little bit when I was filling in for Ron Edwards on his show, because it's, of course, broadcast initially via terrestrial radio, so have all the marks you have to hit and the timers involved and watch out for the hard breaks and they've got to run their advertisements. And it's a lot different than just sitting here doing this and then having the show rebroadcast later. I enjoyed it. It was fun doing something different. And for those of you who have not yet done so, I hope you'll have a chance to check it out and love to hear the critique and just to see if I fared as well under those constraints as I normally do here. And I'm assuming that you guys are at least think I'm doing okay at this or you wouldn't be here. So there we go. And Kel has got it. It is bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And so definitely check that out. Always, always great material over there from Bigfoot. And what do you say we get on with things tonight? I am, fingers crossed, once again scheduled to be joined by the evangelist, Alveda King. Now, we've tried three times previous to have her on, and the publicist that I'm working with, every other guest we've scheduled, not been an issue. But Aveda's so busy so much of the time, and sometimes she just doesn't answer the phone, and the time's involved. And, you know, this time of year in particular, with everything else going on, I would imagine it's still going to be crossing my fingers, lighting a candle, and saying a prayer to hopefully get this connection. But we're going to try, and even if we don't, we'll still talk a little bit about the open letter that she, along with some other pro-life leaders, sent to President Donald J. Trump. So we'll still cover that topic, even if we don't get through. I just start getting a little antsy about some of the folks we have a hard time connecting with. But we're scheduled, and we will do everything we can to do exactly that. All right, a little quick hitter off the top. It's been talked to death by a lot of folks already, so I don't want to spend a lot of time. I usually don't add to the over coverage of stories. I try not to. But there's some things that are just worth mentioning. Kamala Harris has already made her intentions to run for the Democratic nomination for president in the 2020 elections clear. She had a town hall meeting recently hosted by the most trusted name in fake news, CNN. And as part of that, she came out very strong. Now, what I love is the fact that CNN is trying to play her off like she is a moderate. Ooh, she's so moderate. She's so moderate. She had three pretty extreme stances that she made very clear, not the least of which started with the fact that she wants to do away with all private sector insurance. Now, I do understand the appeal of doing away with profit-making companies that provide you insurance, because the idea, the notion there is ultimately they have to bank on never paying out to you. And when it comes to certain types of insurance, they then will spend a ridiculous amount of money, still yet less than what the policy payout should be, in order to try to avoid paying you, if at all costs. That happens. You don't see that quite as much with health insurance. But then you do still see the insurance companies in the healthcare field will very rarely pay a physician or a medical provider the amount that has been invoiced, which is why we have the co-pays and why we still have a balance due at the end and all this other wonderful stuff. Well, Kamala wants to just do away with it completely, though. I would like to remind Ms. Harris, Miss, I slept my way to the top, and there's little doubt that that's actually what happened. We'll look at her a little more in depth when we get closer to a set field. We'll look at all the candidates, so we'll spend some time then. But Kamala Harris actually, well, she traded on her relationships in a classic fashion in order to really advance herself in her career. We'll put it like that. That certainly sounds diplomatic enough. Diplomatic being a diplomatic word here. But she's already come out and said that she's completely against it. I would like to remind her that it is our current healthcare system here in the United States, with all of its flaws, that still helps to drive innovation in medical treatments around the world. what happens here in the United States. Because of the money that is spent here in the United States, advancements are made that helps improve medical outcomes everywhere, not just here in the United States. This system is actually carrying an unfair burden when it comes to the amount of money that we spend in order to try to make sure these advancements are available. But you know what? This is freaking America, and we're all right with that. But when you go to the point that we are socializing medicine, first of all, again, I would like to remind everyone of Charlie Gard, our poster child to avoid socialism at all here in the state. Certainly the socialization of medicine. But when you talk about socializing medicine, you are taking away our best opportunities for continuing that advancement. Medical outcomes will be reduced across the board, not just in the States, but around the world. Something else she also jumped on, she was talking about the Green New Deal. So now she has full-fledged, wholeheartedly jumped on board with the new Green Deal, which basically means that in less than 12 years, we're completely off of all fossil fuels. That's ridiculously expensive. The energy, the green energy sector is not ready yet, nor will they be ready in 12 years to provide the type of energy that we need to operate at a tenth of what we do presently. It would be devastating. It would cripple not only the United States and our economy, but our economy tanks completely. It would do damage to the world over. Part of this also literally basically bans personal automobiles. So she wants to do away with insurance companies. She wants to do away with everybody having a car. You don't have the right to have a car. Everybody has to use public transit. I can tell you, Ms. Harris, while you may live in a part of California where public transportation makes sense, and I understand that there are places in this country, several places in the state of California, a few places in the state of New York, a few places in the state of Illinois, I'm sure that there are places where public transportation makes the most sense, and you see a lot of people utilize that option. I can also tell you, being from a part of a very rural area, that we don't even have Uber drivers here. That's how things are structured here. It doesn't make sense. And there's not that many people that need a ride, and usually the ones who do have family members who will take care of that for them. Now, at this point, you move on up into the city of Knoxville. There's some Uber, but it's still not a lot. And out here in the lovely scenic Roan County, Tennessee, not so much. I would be surprised if there's one. Now, there may be, and because I've never sought the services, it would not surprise me entirely if there might be one or two people who signed up. But come on. Here's the thing. You say these two things, obviously you are just as radical as the AOC. You're just as radical as Bernie Sanders. You're just as radical as Representative Omar. You are just as radical as all these little children who are claiming the U.S. is currently interfering in Venezuelan affairs in a fashion that is inappropriate. Which is a false statement, by the way. Everything that's going on in Venezuela is completely and totally within the constitution of the nation of Venezuela. The people have finally had enough. And it's not like they're installing a right-wing person. This is not a conservative by any means. The party, the new president, what is the freaking terminology here again? Interim president is the Democratic Socialist Party. Now, again, whenever you move from one country to another, you might hear the same names, but there will be subtle differences. In Venezuela, the Democratic Socialists are a little bit further to the left than the Democratic Socialists here in the United States. So, again, we're not backing or pushing a coup what we're doing is we are following the lead of several other local nearby neighboring nations and the recognition of the actions taken according to the constitutional authority of the Venezuelan government. That's what we would pretty much hope for everyone to recognize here if we had something happen like that. But it's funny because those same folks, blah, 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 they just, we shouldn't do that. Hands off this. We need to take all that. Stop putting new sanctions on. Well, the new sanctions that were just put on was designed specifically to prevent those who have been pillaging the Venezuelan treasury, to prevent them from doing so any further and managing to get any further gain through international trade. That is all these new sanctions were designed to do. Of course, all the socialists in the country think that it's undue influence that the American government is trying to crush socialism. Here's the bad news, Ocasio and everybody else out there, Bernie. Socialism crushes itself. Socialism crushes itself. Period. End of discussion. We don't have to do anything to it. We really don't have to do anything. That's it. Anyway, it's funny, though, looking back as to why it is that the Democrats and the media are so desperate to frame Kamala as being centrist, being moderate. And that's because they know right now from their own testing, from their own research data, that the American people as a whole, including typical, usual Democratic voters, they're not in love with the idea of full-blown socialism. They're not in love with the idea of somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez becoming a thought leader or the new face of the Democratic Party. They want female Barack Obama, because they think that checks all the important boxes for the intersectionality. But she still has some issues because of her time in the DA's office. When she was the attorney general for the state of California, she decided to use some of her political capital for going after parents of truant kids. And that is where a lot of people, particularly black males in her home district, still has a strong distaste for her. Because a lot of these parents had kids that were supposed to be going to school, and then they would set them up to do whatever, then they would have to go to work. So while they were at work, the kids were going off, and if the kids didn't go to school, so they decided to skip, or they decided to do whatever. Those parents didn't feel like it was acceptable or even reasonable to hold them accountable for their children being truant. Now, truancy is a serious issue in a lot of places, and children that are out of school often enough for non-medical reasons, you probably should make sure the parents are involved, and there should be a certain level of interest and effort on the parents to prevent it. I never been fond of actually making it a criminal offense. But that's the other radical aspect that she had admitted to in her town hall. Essentially, she made a statement that if you take it at face value, says that if I decide that it's tantamount to a crime, then it's a crime. So what kind of president would she be if she feels that way? So there's three very radical viewpoints, viewpoints that are very off the mark, constitutionally speaking, for someone who should hold the highest office in the land. But again, the media wants to ignore that. The media wants you to forget all about that, and they want to paint her as a moderate because they know only a moderate Democrat is going to have a chance of checking off all the little intersectionality boxes and still hold the majority of the Democratic voting bloc. And so they're already thinking in those terms, which is also why when Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, made his comments over the past few days. I believe it was over the weekend, actually. But when he made his comments that he was considering potentially running as an independent for president, it drew outrage from several leftists. And you know why? It's not hard to guess. He actually, for the most part, is a moderate. I mean, he's done some extreme things that really kind of piss me off. He's the primary reason some of his public statements in regards to supporting our troops, in regards to dealing with Christians, in regards to, well, just about any social issue that he commented on. He's certainly a radical. So on social issues, he's very liberal. So you'd think that would make liberals and leftists happy. But you see, he doesn't, because he's also a businessman and he's been a successful one, which means that he understands financial conservatism. And he has indicated that that would be the argument of the day. We're seeing a shift within the Democratic Party where there is a new bloc. Once again, the, quote, blue dog Democrats seem to be making a comeback. And these blue dog Democrats want to be pragmatic about getting work done, and they are generally pretty fiscally conservative. Again, this is something that we have to take them at their word. We'll see what they do and how well they stand up and how well they fight for these principles, but at least this is what they're telling us. There seems to be a move in that direction. And again, the reason there seems to be this move in that direction is because internal polling data, test marketing, it says this is what it's going to take to win. And believe me, they so want to win. Now, I myself would not be overly concerned about someone potentially running as an independent at this point, because the field for the Democratic nomination is going to be so freaking crowded, and there's going to be a ton of other quasi-Democratic candidates that are going to be running, that are going to be on the ballots, particularly in states like California, that are also going to work to split the ballot. This actually could be a case where if Donald Trump does nothing else, he still wins, not because the Republicans come out in huge support, but because the Democrats become so fractured in who they're going to vote for. And that's why former CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, is bad for Kamala Harris, for Cory Booker, for Hillary Clinton, for Bernie Sanders, for anybody else who throws their hat in the ring for the Democratic nominee. And believe me, once this field picks up about 7 or 8 folks, you're going to have several of these other folks decide, hey, you know what, rather than run for the Democratic nomination, why don't I see if I can get the Green Party nomination? Why don't I see if I can get the Communist Party nomination? Why don't I see if I can create my own party? And it's going to happen. Why? Because every year, if you live in certain states, there are literally dozens of presidential candidates every election cycle. Now, they don't all get on every ballot across every state in the country, so you may not see all of them depending on where you're at. Always a bunch of them. And in places like California and New York and Illinois, you know, places where there are large voting blocks, the kind of place where electoral college votes get determined in large quantities, places like that, a lot of those names do get the required signatures to get on the ballot and will work to split votes. But that's the concern. They don't want him in the race because he's already said, I'm not going to be a Democrat, but I am going to bring common sense and fiscal conservatism. Now, I would love to see somebody actually do fiscal conservatism again. We don't get that from Republicans anymore. There are probably fewer than 10 people with an R at the end of their name right now serving anywhere in Congress, either House, that legitimately, actively thinks about and is concerned about budgetary issues. How much does this cost? Don't you think we should try cutting it? What's our deficit going to be? Why are we not trying to cut these deficits? Probably less than 10. I don't even know that I could count to 10, especially if we were to talk about who I've heard speak in just the last 2 weeks. I think I stopped around three. But anyway, Schultz's remarks about potentially running for president, they were not only received rather poorly by several folks on the left, which, of course, their ultimate plan is to beat Donald J. Trump. They believe that an independent like Schultz could siphon off a lot of those votes away from an eventual Democratic nominee. In response to Schultz's flirtation with a presidential candidacy, a lot of folks on the left suggested boycotting Starbucks. Except that's kind of stupid at this point because he's not the CEO there anymore. It's funny how some of these – I would assume some of the folks calling for the boycott would actually realize that's the case. And, you know, I encourage them to boycott Starbucks all they want to because, again, I'm not a big fan. Don't spend any money there. And mostly because of things that was said by Schultz himself. Nareed Tanden, president of the left-wing Center for American Progress, said that she would start a boycott against Starbucks because Schultz will run to help Trump win. Again, Ms. Tanden, he's not in charge of Starbucks anymore. I mean, if you just feel the need to have some kind of crazy and wild, gotta have a boycott ever so often, then fine, go ahead. But it doesn't seem to be particularly well thought. Pulling right up here, Vanity projects that would help destroy democracy are disgusting. Vanity projects that would help destroy democracy are disgusting. If he enters the race, I will start a Starbucks boycott because I'm not giving a penny that will end up in the election coffers of a guy who will help Trump win. That was in a tweet from Ms. Tanden. Yeah, I wonder if Starbucks would actually contribute to his campaign. In that case, maybe it's not so far-fetched to boycott them. If you're going to make corporate contributions to your former CEO, but maybe they should wait to see if they do or not. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Now, just for the record, by the way, I would like to remind Ms. Tanden that more choices, more options, more people to choose from, that doesn't destroy democracy. But then again, we don't actually have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic that uses some aspects of democracy to help select our selected representatives in our government. And to be truthful, though, I really wouldn't expect anything less from the president of a progressive think tank when it comes to public statements in such fashion anyway. Now, one of Tanden's minions at Think Progress, Ian Millhauser, called on Move On, the Democratic National Committee, unions, and other Democrat campaigns to boycott the coffee shop to force Schultz to drop his bid, saying, quote, if Howard Schultz gets into the presidential race, at Move On, at Indivisible Team, the DNC, the major unions, and the major presidential campaigns should all use their email list to promote a Starbucks boycott until he drops out. Of course, once again, using Twitter. Now, as commentator Carol Roth noted, Millhauser and others are essentially calling on people to impair the livelihood of myriad of workers to bully someone out of running for office. To me, that sounds like it does more to harm democracy and more to harm our republic than anything that Schultz would be doing. David Klein said that Schultz's run legitimately would justify a Starbucks boycott and suggest that even a minimally effective one would probably get him to back down. So again, folks on the left looking to bully somebody out of their desires to serve publicly, and somebody who probably would be very effective at what they want to do. Except for the fact that he probably would not, and I say probably because I don't know for certain, never would until they're actually in office, but probably would not institute socialism. But then again, what do I know? All right, so we're at that time of the day. We're at the halfway point of this one-hour broadcast, so give me some time to hit the Edwards Notebook and the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day, and as we do that, I'll place a phone call, and hopefully I'll be right back with evangelist Aveda King. Stay with me. I'll be right back one way or another.
The Republican Party is certainly not perfect, but it's the Democrats who are now officially the party of death and destruction. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. When it comes to every major issue affecting our republic, Democrats have become the party of how low can you go? It's not enough that far too many Americans slaughter their babies via abortion, but New York Governor Cuomo and other Democrats celebrate the fact that now Americans can kill their babies all the way up to the point of birth. We know that no nation can remain strong with open borders, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, and most Democrats are literally willing to sacrifice our national sovereignty and greatness on her altar of hatred of President Trump. Not because of any wrongs the president has said or done, because she and other Democrats have done far worse, which I believe will be revealed and dealt with soon, but because Trump has dared to challenge the status quo swamp-dwelling internationals who have been working to literally bury the United States under a mountain of United Nations and other leftist-inspired regulations that would replace our Constitution and Bill of Rights Foundation. Wake up, America. The republic you save may be your own. I'm Ron Edwards. Don't miss the Ron Edwards Experience Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on SHR Media and AmericaMatters.us and Sundays at 12 a.m. on Talk America Radio Network.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for staying with us through that short break. That, of course, is a promo for Ron Edwards, get rid of the show. But it is right now my distinct pleasure and honor to welcome to the show for the first time evangelist Aveda King. She's currently the director of civil rights for the unborn for life. And, well, her reputation goes, I don't think there's really much of an introduction that I need to go any further. Ms. King, thank you much. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. How are you?
I am wonderful and so glad to join you and your listeners. Hello, everyone.
All right. Obviously, this is the time of year that you are extremely busy, and I certainly appreciate any time that you can chisel out for us between the March for Life, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the celebrations there, and, of course, all of the ridiculousness that's going on with the new law in New York involving abortion. I can't imagine how busy you are, but let's jump right in and talk a little bit about this open letter that you and four other pro-life leaders wrote, open letter to President Donald Trump.
We have been working very hard across America for several years, really since 1973 for some of us, and for me, 1983, when I became a born-again Christian and a voice for the sanctity of life. I had experienced two abortions myself and a miscarriage that was related to some of the damage done by those procedures. But I was born again and I had repented and began to cry out against abortion as a civil wrong, because the right to live is a human right and it should be a civil right. It really actually isn't in every state, because some states do not acknowledge that the child in the womb has the right to live. So that's part of why we wrote the letter to President Trump asking him to declare abortion as a crime against humanity. I also signed another letter asking President Trump to defund Planned Parenthood, which we've been doing. And he's doing a good job in supporting legislation and encouraging legislation that will value the sanctity of life from every state, and that's from the womb to the tomb and everything in between.
Well, you know, I appreciate your work and your effort. I've kind of been in the same situation that you described. At one point in time, I kind of supported this idea that a woman should have a right to choose. And as I grew older and became closer to faith, I just realized that there really is no excuse here. Your right to choose is your right to choose to prevent the pregnancy or to not engage in ways to become pregnant. And at that point, you are committing murder. The sanctity of life, which is clear and present in every Christian and the majority of other religions as well, it can't be satisfied if you don't acknowledge that this is a human child and it is a separate life and it deserves protection and love, and we need to be aware of that. How would you say the efforts on continuing to lobby lawmakers is going? Because obviously we're making some headway in some states, and then we're kind of going backwards in others.
We're making progress across America. You have a few of the states, as I say, such as New York and maybe two or three others, who are trying to go back to make abortion legal all the way until birth. And then in the event that the child is born, and if the intent was to abort the baby, then they are able to go ahead and kill the baby anyway. That's absolutely horrible. There are more pregnancy care centers in America now, for example, than abortion mills that kill the babies. There's more legislation on the books around the country that protect the baby and the mother. Now, we've got to deal with what happened in New York and some of the other states that are trying to follow suit. So we are encouraging people to contact their governors, their members of Congress, their members of state legislatures, county commissioners, and even on the mayoral level, and just contact our leaders and say, we value the sanctity of life. So no, and we must begin to vote accordingly.
All right. I know that you have to go. And again, I want to thank you so much for just carving out a few moments of your time. Before you go, though, Ms. King, please share the website for Priests for Life and any other website you'd like to share. And if you invite people to follow you on social media, feel free to share that as well.
Now, that's priestforlife.org, civilrightsfortheunborn.org, and Alveda King is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right. Thank you again, ma'am. And I do hope that we'll have an opportunity to speak again in the future.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the evangelist, Ms. Aveda King. All right. So finally got that in. Unfortunately, she had just a few minutes to spare. But you know what? We are just a few days past the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. We're just, 2 weeks now separated from the March for Life. We've got controversy after controversy, and we've got attacks on faith and religion. And I certainly understand that she is pretty busy. So, again, I want to thank her for that. Even though it was abbreviated, I enjoyed the opportunity of speaking to her, and I think it was pretty clear that she's got her message on point. Now I'm going to go ahead and go back and do the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Month. And then when we come back, we'll take another look at that open letter and talk a little more, and then we'll cover a few more topics before we're done. So stay with me. I'll be right back.
Dan Perkins here for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Michelle Fisher, U.S. Air Force 2000 to 2011, said recently, they opened up the women's clinic up there at the VA, and that's actually helped immensely. Research shows that people often do better in treatment with others that are more like them. As a result, mental health services just for women are now offered in many VAs across the country. A new position has been created to help women veterans called the VA Women's Veterans Program Manager. Every VA medical center in the country now has a Women Veterans Program Manager. This person is your advocate. They can help you get VA services and programs state and federal benefits, and resources in the area where you live. If you need help, call your local VA and ask to speak with the Women's Veterans Program Manager. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
All right, we are back. And that, of course, was Dan Perkins, also a great friend of the show. And he joined us this past Sunday, so I hope you had an opportunity to listen in then. And as is usually the case, also another very busy guy, so I always appreciate it when he makes time, and even more so when he does so on a weekend. All right, quick peek. Excuse me. Quick peek in the chat room again. We still have Bigfoot and Kel and Chief and Boyd the Alaskan and Annie, the radio chick, Ubellus, host of a great show known as Southern Sense Talk Radio, has joined us. So glad to have you guys in here as well. We're checking in right here in the chat room again. Annie is changing the format of her show. She's reducing to one time a week, but it's an extended show. And evidently, she's got 5 guests scheduled for this upcoming Friday. So that's going to be fantastic. Definitely, if you guys haven't checked out Annie yet, you definitely need to. Just easiest way to find her, although you can find her just about everywhere, would be go to southern-sense.com, and that'll take you to the webpage for the show, and you get all the pertinent information there. Definitely get that scheduled there and get it bookmarked before this coming Friday. You're not going to want to miss the return of Annie Ubellus with a new extended format. And I'm also assuming that Curtis will still be joining you. All right, let's get back to it. I wanted to read to you this open letter that we were just discussing. Veda King, of course, she made it clear why they wrote the letter. But what's important is what's in this open letter. And I think you'll understand quickly why the folks on the left are pushing so hard to move away from the sanctity of life. Of course, it starts out, Dear President Trump, thank you for your service to the people of America. Mindful of your compassion for the soul of America, we are writing with an urgent request. While we fully understand your concern for the safety and security of the American people, as well as compassionate considerations for innocent immigrants, we are requesting that you also consider addressing another American crisis by declaring that the abortion of a child, notably deemed by science and philosophy as a living human byproduct in the womb, is a crime against humanity. While considering a barrier or a wall to protect the people of America and to assist the innocent immigrants who desire to come into our country, we pray that you will also remember the babies in the womb. According to God, science and philosophy are human beings waiting to be born. The scourge of abortion of human beings in the womb is an American crisis. Please declare that abortion of pre-born human beings is a national crisis. Just this week, on January 22, 2019, the governor of New York signed into law the so-called Reproductive Health Act. I added the so-called part. It's actually called the Reproductive Health Care Act. Okay, back to reading the letter. An approval to kill even more of our American children, especially African American children. Already in New York, more black babies are being aborted than are being born. Sir, we are asking you to declare that abortion is a crime against humanity. Again, America is in a state of crisis at our geographical borders and in the sanctuaries of the wombs of our mothers. America is besieged and beguiled by serious crimes against humanity, with abortion of human beings at the top of that list. We are very concerned that all of the candidates that announced their bid to run for president in 2020 choose to rise on the anniversary of the celebration of the 90th birthday of the prophet Martin Luther King Jr., and did so being fully in league with America's massive abortion industry while backed by black faith-based leaders under the auspices of the Negro Project, a genocide project with long-standing and deadly intent. They all remain in league to commit genocide and eugenics against African-American babies. One-third of the babies aborted in America are African-American babies, while we remain the least of these in numbers of population, about 12%. Mr. President, we salute you for keeping your promises and bringing prison reform, religious reform, tax breaks, lower unemployment, and many other benefits to America. Thank you also for addressing crimes against humanity, notably demonstrated yet again with your recent signing of the Frederick Douglass anti-human trafficking law. Thank you for recognizing the legacy of Frederick Douglass as his incredible efforts against slavery. Thank you for recognizing that human trafficking is today's modern slavery. All slavery is a crime against humanity. Abortion is another form of slavery, with the human child in the womb held hostage. As you know, a crime against humanity occurs when the government withdraws legal protections from a class of human beings, as they did with African American slaves in our American past. Even though adoption is a viable option to abortion, there is very little, if any, protection for the unborn human baby. In addition to seeking solutions to this crisis, we also urge you to declare that abortions occur in the human sex trafficking cycle. Often these occurrences are forced abortions, all indicative of more crimes against humanity. We have denied legal protections to a class of human beings, children in the womb. As the Supreme Court has said in describing the contents of the woman's womb, quote, "While we find no reliable data to measure the phenomenon, it seems unexceptionably to conclude some women come to regret their choice to abort their infant life they once created and sustained." Severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. Now, that was part of Gonzalez versus Carhart, if you would like to check out where the Supreme Court actually wrote that in their opinion. Back to the letter. Mr. President, we, the undersigned individuals, urge you to make a public declaration to this effect, that abortion of a child in the womb is a crime against humanity, and to sanction the Moral Outcry petition at www.themoraloutcry.com and other factual statements in support of the sanctity of life. Again, Mr. President, thank you for your continued leadership to promote human dignity and the sanctity of human life, regardless of condition of servitude, color of skin, or length of days. We are urging the people of America to pray with us and to join us in sounding this alarm. God bless you, Mr. President, and God bless America. Respectfully submitted, Evangelist Aveda King, Civil Rights for the Unborn, Dr. Day Gardner, National Black Pro-Life Union, Reverend Dean Nelson, Human Coalition, Bruce Lavelle, National Diversity Coalition for Trump, Alan Parker Esquire, the Justice Foundation. Now, this is an open letter sent to President Trump. And it's a shame that we live in a time where such a letter is even necessary. There is no question, there is no doubt, this is a human child that is developing. Life has started. It is a separate life. You take two living cells that are part of you and part of your partner, and you combine them. And the second those two cells join together and begin forming a new life, it is exactly that, a new, an individual life. There's still rumblings and talk about the Catholic Church excommunicating Cuomo and others who have supported. And I would have, excuse me, I would have no compunctions about having discussions in regards to when you believe life begins. If you genuinely think you have to wait till there's a heartbeat, or if you genuinely believe in strict accordance to your Jewish faith that you're so many days in, which I've never really understood why that was, but it's a thing in the Torah. If you genuinely believe life doesn't necessarily start at the very moment of conception, we can entertain those discussions. But I will stand on the platform of science. Biology is the field that I studied before I made my detour into food safety. And still, biology serves me in food safety. And it's certainly what I was doing before I made my detour into becoming a host and a political writer. These are the things that I studied. Life has begun at the point of conception. It is that simple. But I can understand if you believe differently. But what I cannot understand is why anyone would try to stand up and make an argument that it is not a separate individual life. Oh, well, that's just a collection of tissues. By that very definition, I could say the same thing about any person that just uttered that statement. But I dare say that they would insist on being recognized as a human being. By that argument, it's perfectly okay to terminate the life of just a collection of tissues. Well, then, by your own logic, I should be able to pop a cap in your ass right now. Because guess what? You are just a collection of tissues. Strictly speaking, from a scientific definition. Now, you and I, we all know that there is more to a human being than just the biological part of our existence. We do have souls. We have part of the divine within us, which is all the more disappointing and heartbreaking when we see people choose evil. When we see people snuff out life as if it's insignificant, as if it means nothing. To see the corruption of that spark of life, to see the corruption of that spark of the divine, it is there, it is within us all, and it is up to us to tap into it and to harness it. Andy in the chat room says, LOL, pop, LOL, pop a cap. Excellent logic, Tim. New York just made legal all murder. Now, obviously, they've written their law very carefully, so it doesn't apply after birth. But every argument I've heard made to make abortion okay, except for the red herrings that are so extremely rare of the health of the mother or the subject of rape, those are such rare instances, the red herrings in the argument, and they try to establish that as the whole argument. And the fact that they have to use such trickery for the debate to try and reestablish it where they have some footing shows you that they know they themselves have no footing in the argument. Annie in the chat room said that she's still making the point. Where does it stop? Make legit the death of the sick, the disabled, the elderly, the dissidents. And that is the slippery slope that we're on. I mean, these are the same people that want to disarm us. These are the same people that hold up Mao, Saint-Tan, and Hugo Chavez as heroes. These are the same people that believe that they can openly embrace socialism, that they can openly talk about how great it would be to have a collectivist economy, how we should all serve for the greater good with no definitions whatsoever, no references whatsoever as to who gets to determine what is the greater good. Obviously, every last one of them thinks they'll be part of the bourgeois class. They think they'll be protected. Every academic thinks that they'll be important and necessary. Every politician thinks that they're important and necessary. Everyone who helps in the cause. Part is once it's established, well, we don't really need the intellectuals anymore because that's where the new dissidents will come from. So, sorry, academics. You're on the chopping block. Oh, and the media. You great, big, beautiful propaganda machine, you. Guess what? You're not needed anymore either because when it comes to the propaganda machines, the state-run is still the best. A lot of you guys will no longer be necessary. Andy's even making a really good reference to Logan's Run. For those of you not familiar with the movie, look it up. It is very apropos. It's about a society that determined that there was an optimum age to which you would live, and at that point you were sanctioned out of society, you know, so that as you became older, you wouldn't become a burden to society. And Chief, coming back, we've heard a lot about the new Green Deal, or the Green New Deal is what they're really called. But he said the new Soylent Green Deal. There's a lot of that involved. I can't express enough how terrifying seeing the people celebrate this law in New York. And it's so disingenuous, so very disingenuous. Cuomo is, he knows what he's doing. But follow my logic here. They passed this new law claiming essentially their independence, their level of protecting the choice of New Yorkers from whatever this current administration's goal of doing is. Yet at the same time, if Roe versus Wade was overturned, do you know what would actually happen? The choice to legalize and control whatever regulations are involved with abortion would simply go back to the states. There would be no more federal oversight. That's it. That's all that would really change. And Cuomo knows that. Now, what could change if during the course of this overturn, if some boys from that Republican Party were to get together and pass a bill and it managed to get passed and then managed to get signed by the president that said that life starts at conception, or that life starts when you can detect a heartbeat, or anything reasonable would start. But as soon as they do that, then all of a sudden things change across the board. But until they do that, if they just overturn Roe versus Wade, then you just get the option put back in the hands of the state. That's all. And so basically what Cuomo's doing here is we're already taking this into account. But, you know, if you agree with me, you're good. If you don't agree with me, then you should be forced by the federal government to agree with me. And it's a disgrace. It's a dishonor. It's a disservice. And you will be answerable to a higher power. That's going to have to be it for tonight, guys. Thank you very much for being here. I want to thank Evangelist Miss Aveda King for joining us. As briefly as it was still a pleasure and an honor. I want to thank Bigfoot, Kel, Chief, Annie, and Boyd for all hanging out in the chat room with me. And remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort and, more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it for me tonight, everybody. Good night. This is Matt Fitzgibbons. Check out patriotmusic.com when you get a chance, and I'm out.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls, had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming, all your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, and you watch the rich land die, such a vicious drought, even hopes in doubt, but there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming, all your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. Storm on you, because the rain.